I would say it's time to get our view from the north, but let's call this one our view from the middle. From that swinging metro city known as Lincoln, you can find his work for Comcast Sportsnet Online, CSNNW.com. He and the trio of Ducks, Jordan Kent, Anthony Newman, and Joseph Harrington, talking Ducks on Comcast Channel 737 on my Xfinity. Dive into his world of Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress, where you can also find his new podcast with Bree Amaranthus. A busy, busy guy, Mr. Fentress. How's it going?
I'm doing well, man. How are you? How's Eugene?
I'm doing great. I didn't have to get on a plane and land in Lincoln.
Dude, we barely landed in Lincoln.
Where are you staying? Because I talked with Kristen Rogers earlier. She's in Omaha. I don't know Nebraska at all.
Oh, yeah. There's some people in Omaha, and then they're going to make the hour drive to the stadium. We were staying in Lincoln, but we couldn't get into Lincoln last night because of a huge lightning and thunderstorm, man. It was crazy. We could see the lightning from our plane. And so we went and landed in Hays, Kansas, to refuel. We were running out of fuel circling Nebraska, circling Lincoln. And then we came back to try to land in Lincoln, and we're starting our approach, and the plane started vibrating really, really violently. And all of a sudden, we could tell we were going back up, and Brianne Marantis and I were looking at each other like, "Are we going back up?" And they aborted it, man. They're like, "We're not going to make it." So we flew to Kansas City and stayed there last night. It was crazy.
Oh, man. All right, let's calm your nerves and talk about stuff like sports. You posted Tuesday the win over Virginia. We're actually talking about it. It looked like something was amiss with the Oregon run defense. The middle looked open. You posted about it. And I don't second-guess play calls. You actually taught me that. You don't have really the information, the alignment, the packages and whatnot. But, man, Oregon gave up 200 yards to a team who couldn't rush for 50 against Richmond. So you talked with Coach Hoke, Aiken, Rex Manu. What did they have to say about what Virginia did right and Oregon did wrong in run defense?
Yeah. They said that Virginia came out with wide splits by their offensive linemen, which is not unusual for a team that runs spread, but it was wider than what they had shown earlier in the season against Richmond in the loss, and that kind of caught Oregon off guard because when they widen out, you widen out, and that creates bigger gaps and better blocking angles and things like that. Rex Manu and Aiken said that they adjusted. They felt better after adjustments, but when you look at the stats, there was no time in the game where Virginia's rushing attack slowed down. And the running backs, you know, the total yards were 193 rushing, but that counts sacks. I think Oregon had 6 sacks. But the running backs rushed 31 times for 220, and in the second half they had 16 carries for 115, which is almost 10 yards a pop. So I don't know what they're talking about with their adjustments. I mean, even the fourth quarter, I think the backs rushed for 69 yards. So that's a problem. And I don't think it had anything to do with splits or alignment or angles. I just think it had to do with the fact that Oregon has some questions up the middle. I mean, they got 2 solid defensive tackles in Manu and Malawata, but they're not DeForest Buckner. They're not Armstead. They're not future first-round picks. And middle linebacker, you know, you got an undersized guy in Hodgkins, and then you have Mattingly. And, you know, and of course, you know, there's more than one guy in the middle. The way they line it up, there's another linebacker back there. But then you're looking at Reagan, who's a little undersized, or Dye, who's undersized. I mean, they're just not built really to stop the run if a team wants to commit to just running it straight ahead. And that was one of the biggest questions coming into the season. And the coaches talked about it during camp. They have to be able to stop the run. And that was a clear concern during camp. And it showed in that game with Virginia. And Virginia is not a very good rushing team. And they just ran the ball right down Oregon's throat. They don't fall behind. You know, they have a chance to be in that game strictly from running the football. And so you look at Nebraska, and that's their strength. That's their bread and butter. They want to run at you with fullbacks and tight ends. So that can bring more defenders in the box if they have a tight end and a linebacker, which could help. A tight end and a fullback, if you can stand up against the guys who are coming at you. And that's a big question. That's the main reason why I think Oregon's going to lose, because I think there's huge concerns about whether or not they can stop the run.
Now, you posted a video with Ugo Amadi, obviously a duck corner, and they faced Kurt Benkert of UVA, Ben Scott of UC Davis. What did he have to say about maybe a different challenge now stylistically this week and how suited they might be to handle Tommy Armstrong's skill set?
Yeah, I guess the other side of the running game is that if you get that going, you still have to play action. And Helford said that they noticed on the film against Fresno State, there were several times when they play faked Fresno State to death and receivers were just wide open all over the place because, you know, safeties were sucking in on the run. And, of course, Armstrong can move. You know, you can boot action with that guy. He gets out of the pocket. He can run. And he can buy time. He can make plays, all of Vernon Adams, but as a better runner. And so, you know, Ugo Amadi said basically that usually they do their scramble drills on Friday, which is just have a quarterback leave the pocket and scramble, and you have to cover the receiver for longer than the, you know, normal 4 or 5 seconds. And they usually do that on Friday, but this week they're doing it every day because they just know Armstrong is going to get out of the pocket and make plays, and they have to be able to stay with the receivers. And Nebraska has some solid receivers. Alonzo Moore is a speedster. That guy will be in the NFL. They have some other cats too, Wester Camp and things like that. But, you know, it's a situation where they haven't seen anything like that so far this year. And now, you know, I would say, though, they're used to seeing that strictly from the fact that it's Oregon. Oregon always has dual threat guys. So they, you know, they've seen Terry Wilson, they've seen Herbert, they've seen Dakota, you know. So they see these guys over time. So I don't think it's going to be a shock to the system, but it's different seeing it in practice because you just practice it and then having to worry about it actually being something in the game and you're not used to seeing it when everything's live. So it's going to be a concern, but mainly if the running game's rolling. If the running game's not rolling, if you're stuffed in Nebraska and they're third and long, then you're fine because now, you know, even if he gets out of the pocket, the odds of him converting deep are not going to be that high usually because you can chase him down. He's not going to do it consistently enough to beat you, I should say, if it's third and long. But if he's able to get into second and shorts and then play fake you and move out of the pocket and they have that threat to run for the first down or go deep, then you're in trouble. So they have to stop the run first, and then they'll slow down whatever Tommy Armstrong's going to do.
All right, we're talking with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net. One of the things you've insisted all summer long is the Oregon quarterback can't simply just play point guard and distribute. When this program excels, they need their trigger guy to be outstanding. Week one against UC Davis, I thought he missed some things. I don't know if it's just time to get your feet wet at this level. What did you see maybe against the Cavs last week that kind of jumped off the page, Prukop encouragement-wise?
Loved what I saw, man. The quarterback has to be a playmaker. He just can't be a guy who gets to the playmakers, which hurts me because you have to throw the ball downfield to get to your best playmakers, so that means making plays. But, you know, I think we saw a guy who can make plays, man. I mean, he had some situations where he avoided sacks, got out of the pocket, made plays downfield, and when he stood in the pocket as pressure was coming, he knew it was coming, and he knew he was going to get hit. That touchdown pass to Devin Allen, that was big time. I mean, he got when he threw it, and it was a right on the money to Devin for an easy touchdown. You know, even the presence of mind on 3rd and 36 to read the coverage and see that that Virginia clearly didn't watch the Olympics, didn't know Devin Allen was fast. Had one guy out there on him, it was 6 yards deep, and there was a single high safety. It looked like cover 3. There was a safety in the middle, but he jumped a 10-yard crossing route by Carrington, which I don't know why you jump a 10-yard crossing route on 3rd and 36. I mean, that just makes no sense whatsoever, especially when you should recognize Devin Allen to your left. Anyway, you know, still, he made the play. He got it out there for Devin to go get it. Also, he had some plays where he got out of the pocket, took off running, and then picked it. You know, like the one he pitched late, I think, to Stanford. Just presence of mind, things where he's making things happen. So he definitely showed some next-level ability in terms of being a guy who can make plays. And that's what you need to win, you know, closer games coming up. To win this game tomorrow, I guarantee you he's going to have to – he can't just stand back there and just go bubble screens to Charles Nelson and tunnel screens to Darren Carrington, hand the ball to Royce, and you're going to win. He's going to have to make plays again. On Saturday, we saw evidence he can do that against Virginia. Now you got to look for evidence that he can do it against Nebraska, a Washington, a Stanford, etc.
So is this late-breaking news? Is Aaron Fentress' sources saying Bronco Mendenhall said no Rio Olympics for you guys?
I don't think they watched it. How do you – it's 3rd and 36, and you got a guy – you got a corner lining up 6 yards off the fastest hurdler in America and the fifth fastest one on the planet. And then your free safety in the middle of the field jumps a 10-yard crossing route. It just defies logic. It's amazing. They clearly did not know who he was.
That's funny. And by the way, you know, speaking of Devin Allen, I know you guys talked to that. The truth was, after Rio, we were thinking maybe this would be his first game. But his being 100% and the type of skill set he has, what kind of impact does that overall make on a defense?
Man, having him back to 2014 form is a big difference maker for this team, I think, because you know, it's one thing to just have a guy just run straight downfield and just, you know, give you some vertical stretch. It's another thing if that guy can actually make plays. And he demonstrated the ability that he showed in 2014 when he had a great redshirt freshman season. But, you know, on Saturday against Virginia, his two big pass plays, 55 and 77, were his two longest since he had an 80-yard touchdown against Washington State in October of 2014. I mean, it's 2 years ago. It's just crazy to me how long it's been. And so, you know, last year he only had 95 yards receiving or something like that all season long. And he got, you know, 77 on one, 55 on another in one game. And, you know, that having that element is, you know, from here on out, let's put it this way, teams are going to know where he is from here on out. I can't get that later anymore. But that just means, though, you know, that they're going to have two guys deal with him deep. And that just helps open things up. And it'll help the running game, too. Because whenever you have a speed guy who can make plays downfield, the defense has to respect that. It's one thing to get gals for 5, 7, 10, 15 yards here and there. That's bad enough. But to have a guy can take it 60, 70 on you in the blink of an eye, that's scary stuff that makes defensive coordinators think. So the fact that he's back is going to help everyone on that team.
All right, final thought. The offensive line, we saw Crosby out week one, 4 red shirts starting on the line. Then Cam Hunt got hurt. And then they always talk about the cliche, most improvement from game one to last week. Crosby back. The trio of red shirts, a game under their belt. What did you observe be a communication, Prukop's comfort, trust, that was encouraging for Steve Greatwood's guys last week?
You know, they vowed after week one that everything that went wrong they could fix, and they definitely had some better tempo in this last game, and then the protection was really sound, and Prukop said there was hardly any miscommunications at all, whereas the first game there was some. And I thought the protection was pretty good. I mean, he did get drilled on the pass to Devin. He did have to escape a couple of sure sacks, but you know that no one's gonna be perfect, especially to run that many plays. And the running game was money. I mean, they were making some huge land for Freeman. Freeman had a nice game, there's no doubt. But it's not like he had to juke a bunch of people to get those yards. He didn't have to go Barry Sanders 1988. You know, he just had to hit a big hole and then make something happen after that. So the offensive line did a great job. But again, you know, a pretty marginal Virginia team, definitely a step up from UC Davis, but this is going to be another animal. And they're going to have to deal with the crowd noise. So they're going to have to do a lot of silent communication, hand signals to make sure they're on the P's and Q's against a decent to good Nebraska defense.
All righty. Well, follow this guy at Aaron J. Fentress on Twitter, CSNNW.com online. Enjoy that toddling town of Lincoln. I wish you a much smoother, less stressful return flight home, and we'll catch up with you next week, Aaron. Thanks for the time.
I already had some great barbecue at Fat Jack's, spelled P-H-A-T. Who'd have known it would have been a restaurant in Nebraska called Fat Jack's, P-H-A-T? It was good, man. It was legit, too.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, travel safe, my friend. We'll catch
up
with you next week. Take it
easy.